The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Robin Smukler.
Welcome back. Always a treat and a pleasure to have you on our show in the afternoon.
Likewise.
Interesting as always in Israel as things are unfolding there. So we see Netanyahu is continuing his unenviable task of trying to put his coalition together. What are the latest developments happening over there?
Oh, I tell you, I really wouldn't want to be Netanyahu or anyone who has to put together an Israeli governmental coalition. So he set himself the very unenviable task of cobbling together his coalition by tomorrow, which I really doubt is going to happen unless he pulls a major rabbit or 60 out of the hat in the next couple of hours. But there have been a lot of meetings going on. Yesterday, the Otzma Yehudi splitting into its different factions, and again, the horse trading continuing. So what we know from the latest negotiations is that Netanyahu has been very heavily criticized today by his Likud faction. They say that they're very disappointed that he is holding these intensive negotiations with parties, you know, other than their own, and he's giving them major, or promising them major portfolios, which really should go to his Likud faction. One of the MKs, David Bitan, said, you know, there's a problem with the upcoming coalition agreement, and I hope it will change. MKs have said they feel like they are left with just the crumbs after the top portfolios, finance, public security, interior, transportation, and more have been given to Shas, United Torah Judaism, and the National Religious Party. And he said there's not enough left for the Likud, and Israel is not just foreign and defense affairs, it's also daily life. Now, as we've been saying over the past couple of weeks since the election results, Smotrich from the National Religious wants the Defense Ministry portfolio. This is not going to happen for a variety of reasons. He doesn't have the experience, and there are major concerns, not just internally in Israel, but also from our major ally, the Americans. In fact, just a short while ago, we've had some news from international Jewish organizations saying, please don't give the diaspora community or the diaspora ministry to Shas, because we have concerns about their viewpoints on the diaspora. So this is a very, very difficult government to put together. What we know reported from Israel's Channel 12 yesterday, that there is a likelihood that Smotrich could get the finance ministry, and his party could possibly get the education ministry as well. This is not confirmed. There is still a lot of hammering out to happen. Arya Deri from Shas, who wanted the finance ministry, he doesn't have the greatest record with his own personal financial credentials. He could possibly be given the interior and the transport ministries. And these are critical ministries, and this has left the Likud faction quite upset, saying that, you know, this should really, really go to them. One of the appeasing portfolios that also could go to Arya Deri is the role of Deputy Prime Minister.
Rolene, Gary, good afternoon.
I noticed by the change of the voice.
Now, did you reckon, did you hear the change? I mean,
just
it could be wrong.
Just checking on your toes.
Rolene, a quick question. Yeah, while you were talking, what is the time frame to finalize the coalition government?
Great question. So, for those who don't know how Israel's government is formed, it's not necessarily who wins the election that, you know, gets to run the government, but who is able to form a coalition, a working coalition. So the president, Isaac Herzog, attacked Netanyahu because he is his party won the election with the first task or being the first one to put together his coalition government. He has until the 6th of December. If he isn't able to do that, there might be an extension granted to him. If he is unable to form a coalition at all, it will go to another party head to try and form a coalition. And so it will go through the party heads until it gets to a stage, and we hope it doesn't, that it literally goes out to anybody who's a sitting member of Knesset to try and put a coalition together. If that doesn't happen, we go to yet another set of elections. So it's a very, very complicated process. But, you know, this is Israeli democracy in action, and we continue with the government that is currently in place, which is serving as a caretaker government, to kind of just tick on.
Wow, it's fascinating. And the outgoing president, Prime Minister Yair Lapid, has warned about Israel becoming a halachic state. Why is he giving such a warning?
Well, he's giving such a warning because there is such a heavy leaning of religious parties that are in the Knesset, and for the more center or secular Israelis, it's not necessarily representative of Israeli society. We have minority communities, we have a big secular community, and considerations have to be given there as well. We've heard some alarming language over the last couple of weeks coming from these parties. One of the parties demanding that segregation between men and women in certain areas be enforced. Another religious leader demanding that the grandfather law within the law of return that says a grandchild of a grandparent is Jewish should be able to make aliyah calls for that to be scrapped. That is not what we see as inclusive Israeli values. The Noam party has already been shut down for trying to walk back LGBTQ plus legislation that is in place. They've been told that there's going to be no change there. So there is a concern. Another concern is the possibility of transport in certain cities on Shabbat. And, you know, Israel has to retain its identity as a democratic state that is a Jewish state, but it is a Jewish state that is representative of many streams of Judaism, and this has to be taken into account.
Absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to see what actually happens by the 6th of December, so we're going to keep watching the space. And then we see the outgoing IDF Chief of Staff, Aviv Kochavi, is in the USA this week. What is the purpose of his visit there?
Well, he is ending his tenure as the IDF Chief of Staff. His tenure was already extended, and he's on his final visit to the United States, and he has met with key portfolio holders in the Biden administration, one of them being the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. According to a readout from the White House, the two of them spoke about Iran and the growing threat posed by Iran. Just today, we have news coming in that Iran has enriched uranium to about 60% at the Fordow nuclear site. This is a huge, huge concern. And also, as expressed yesterday by the INSS and the outgoing defense minister, that the World Cup presents an opportunity for Iranians to try and carry out terror attacks. So we know that Iran is a growing threat. He also spoke with Jake Sullivan about the growing violence and the security situation, which is rapidly deteriorating in the West Bank. In fact, over the weekend, we had an official from the Biden administration advising Israel to shore up its relationship with the Palestinian Authority, or it will collapse. A Palestinian Authority will collapse, and that leaves a vacuum for Hamas to come in. So very, very complicated issues, very important issues being discussed.
Yeah, wow. And with just over a minute to go, a fascinating story of the 3,000th Palestinian child receives life-saving surgery in Israel from Save a Child's Heart. Who is Save a Child's Heart?
Well, Save a Child's Heart is one of the most incredible non-governmental organizations or NGOs in Israel. If you are on your computer, Google who they are, and they provide life-saving heart surgery for children who need it. And today, or yesterday rather, a five-year-old little boy, his name is Amir Mabkhouk. He comes from Jabalia, just north of Gaza. He came in, he's 5 years old. He is the 3,000th Palestinian child to receive life-saving surgery. To date, Israel has, or Save a Child's Heart, has helped more than 6,000 children from around the world, from 65 countries, including those countries that we have no recognition or no bilateral relations with. So it really is an exceptional milestone for this really, really phenomenal NGO.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. I'm definitely going to be Googling them. And just thank you again, Rolene Marks. Thank you for your time and thank you for the Israel report.